Okay, thank God for the beautiful singing. Once again, I greet you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to begin by telling you a story by an author, Max Lucado. In his book, 6 Hours One Friday, tells the story of a missionary in Brazil who discovered a tribe of Indians in a remote part of the jungle. They lived near a large river. The tribe was in need of medical attention. A contagious disease was ravaging the population, much like the coronavirus that we are dealing with on the global scale. Many people were dying daily in the jungle. A hospital was not too terribly far away, just across the river. But the Indians would not cross it because they believed the river was inhabited by evil spirit, and to enter its water would mean certain death. The missionary explained how he had crossed the river and was unharmed several times, but they were not impressed. He then took them to the bank and placed his hands into the water. They still wouldn't go in. He walked into the water up to his waist and splashed the water on his face. It did not matter. They were still afraid to enter the river. Finally, he dove into the river, swam beneath the surface until he emerged on the other side. He raised a triumphant fist into the air. He had entered the water and escaped. It was then that the Indians broke into a cheer and followed him across. Now, isn't that what Jesus did for us? He entered the river of death and came out on the other side victoriously, so that we might no longer fear death, but find eternal life in him. Friends, I have got some bad news and some good news for you. I'm going to tell you the bad news first. The bad news is you and I are all going to die. We are all dying. Biologists tells us that every day, to some extent, each of us are dying. The cells and atoms in our bodies are dying. In fact, every atom and every cell that is now in our bodies will die off within the next 7 years. In essence, we are experiencing a daily dying of our physical being. But the good news is that you don't have to be afraid of dying. You can have eternal life in Jesus Christ. And this is good news. This is a good news based on three facts. Firstly, the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. I want you to stop and think for a moment. What an amazing thing that is. The whole human history is one of death. Everyone has a birthday, and everyone has a death day. Some die young, some live long, but everyone dies. It has been that way from the beginning of time. With the global coronavirus crisis, the subject of death has become more relevant than ever. We must remember, as terrible as coronavirus is, everyone has a death date. And the reason why we all die is because of the deadly virus called sin, which has infected the entire human race. For the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 23. For God told Adam back in the garden, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And sure enough, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God by eating of the fruit, they began to die. And so as their descendants, their son, Abel, was the first to go. Of course, he was murdered by his own brother, cut short before his time. But in a sense, we are all cut short before our time. Why? Because God did not originally create us to die. He created us to live and to love and to serve and to worship Him. God is the giver of life. He created the world with light and air and vegetation and all sorts of living creatures. And then He created man and women in His own image and breathed into them the breath of life. You and I were not created to die, but to live forever. And yet every single human being from the beginning of history dies because of sin. And so when we read that Jesus rose from the dead, that's good news. It means that somebody finally conquered death. That somebody died, was buried, and rose again, never to die again. That is good news. In fact, that would be good news no matter who it is or who it was. That would be good news if it were your loved ones, your relatives, or your friends. It would be good news even if it were some stranger you never met before halfway around the globe. It would be good news because up to that point, death had claimed every human being. And now finally, someone who died had rose again. There was a tribe in Africa that kept the dead, and their bones may belong to their loved ones or their ancestors, and they kept them in wooden boxes in their home. They kept them there in hopes that perhaps someday one of them might come alive again. Of course, no one ever did. Sometimes they would peek in the box, but they would see the bones of their dead ancestors. They were filled with despair because they didn't know what happened when they died. And obviously, no one ever came back to tell them. And so, when the missionaries arrived and shared with them about Jesus, who rose again from the dead, they were overjoyed. This was good news. Somebody finally did it. Someone finally died and came back again. So the good news of Easter, first of all, is that Jesus rose from the dead. But there is better news. The pattern is Jesus rose from the dead for you. You read about Jesus in Romans 4, verse 25. It says that he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. We often hear that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that's true. Jesus did die on the cross for our sins. We have all sinned against God, and the wages of sin is death. And Jesus paid the price for us by dying on the cross for our sins. This is an important part of the gospel. But the gospel of Jesus is not complete if we only focus on the death of Jesus. The good news is not only that Jesus died for our sins, but that he was raised to life for our justification. In fact, Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 16 and 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Yet are ye in your sin. So, what does that mean that Jesus was raised again for our justification? It sounds pretty important, and it is. It is extremely important because without justification, none of us would ever be able to enter into heaven because we will still be unforgiven sinners. And let me tell you what justification means. Justification means that through Jesus, God declares you righteous in his sight. It does not mean you have never sinned, but through Jesus, God gives you righteousness that you never had on your own. Just as God took your sins and placed them on Jesus at the cross, so God takes Jesus' righteousness and places it on you when you put your faith in Christ. In effect, you are counted righteous by God, which is an accounting term we talked about a few weeks ago. Now, think about that. God gives you the righteousness of his own Son, Jesus. That means when you approach God in worship or in prayer, he accepts you the same way he would accept his Son, Jesus. You are forgiven of your sins and counted righteous in his sight. And that's good news. And it was only made possible through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Again, Romans 4, verse 25 says, who, or Jesus, was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So what does Jesus' resurrection bring about? Our justification. Why wasn't Jesus' death on the cross enough? One easy way to answer that question is to ask another. What if Jesus had not risen from the dead? What if he had died on the cross for our sin, but he never came back to life again? What would that mean? Well, it means three things. It would mean that the sacrifice Jesus offered for our sins on the cross was not accepted by God. Secondly, it would mean that when Jesus offered himself on the cross on our behalf, that it was not a perfect offering, free from all blemish and sin. Thirdly, it would mean that Jesus was not perfectly righteous before God, and therefore he could not share his perfect righteousness with us. It is unfortunate, though, that all of the above assumption that you see had been taught by various Christian cults as being true. They have bought into the lies of Satan and are teaching people the same thing, but nothing could be further from the truth. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead shows that he is the Son of God, that he lived a perfect and sinless life, and offered up the perfect life as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. You see, I could write you a check for $1 million. Who loves to have a check of $1 million from me? And you could take that to the bank and deposit it, and it would take 3 days to clear. Yeah? But guess what? Three days later, you're going to get a call from the bank telling you that the check is no good. And if the check is no good, you have got nothing. Because I don't have $1 million in my bank account. So you don't get it. So I simply have written you a rubber check. Dear friends, about 2,000 years ago, on the first Good Friday, God wrote a check of an infinite amount in human history. He offered up his son on the cross as a full payment for all the sins of humanity, past, present, and future. And 3 days later, on the first Easter Sunday, the check cleared. But only those who received his son would receive the benefit. That's what the resurrection is all about. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead shows that God accepted his sacrifice as perfect and righteous. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God takes the righteousness of Christ and gives it to you. And again, you can only receive the benefit if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this book, Written in Blood, the author Robert Coleman tells the story of a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. The doctor explained that she, the sister, had the same disease the boy had recovered from 2 years earlier. Her only chance for recovery was a transfusion of blood from someone who had previously conquered the disease. Since the two children had the same rare blood type, the boy was the ideal donor. "Would you give your blood to Mary?" the doctor asked. Johnny hesitated. His lower lip started to tremble. Then he smiled and said, "Sure, for my little sister." Soon the two children were wheeled into the hospital room, Mary pale and thin, Johnny robust and healthy. Neither of them spoke. But when their eyes meet, Johnny grinned at his sister. As the nurse inserted the needle into his arm, Johnny's smile faded. He watched the blood flow through the tube. With the ordeal almost over, his voice slightly shaky, and he broke the silence and asked, "Doctor, so when do I die?" Only then did the doctor realize why Johnny had hesitated and why his lips had trembled when he agreed to donate his blood. He thought by giving his blood to his sister meant giving up his life. And he was willing to do that for his sister. Fortunately, Johnny did not have to die to save his sister. You see, each of us, however, has a condition more serious than Mary's that is called sin. And it required Jesus to give not just his blood, but his life. And he rose again on the third day. So yes, it is good news that Jesus rose from the dead. But it's even better news to know that he did it for you, for all those who believe. But wait, there's more. The news has gone from good, better, and now the best. So what is the best news? The best news is that you too can conquer death in Christ Jesus. Dr. Simmons tells of a Muslim man who became a Christian in Africa. Some of his friends asked this converted Muslim man, "Hey, why have you become a Christian?" He answered, "Well, like this. Suppose you were going down the road and suddenly the road forked in two directions and you didn't know which way to go. And there at the fork in the road were two men, one dead and one alive. Which one would you ask which way to go?" My friends, which way would you go? The good news of Easter is also that Jesus shares his resurrection with you. If you follow him today, you too can conquer death in him. Now, by the way, Jesus will not only show you the way, he is the way. Jesus didn't rise from the dead simply to share his righteousness with you. Jesus rose from the dead so that you also could rise from the dead. And that's the best news of all. We read in Romans 6 verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Notice that the word "if" at the beginning of the verse. This is a condition presented in this verse. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, in the likeness of his resurrections, shall we also rise again? That means if we have not been planted together in the likeness of his death, then we will not be united with him in his resurrection. If you want to share in Christ's resurrection, you must first share in his death spiritually. So how do you do that? How do you share in Christ's death that you might also share in his resurrection? The Bible is clear on this point. Three things you must do. Firstly, you must turn to God through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and confess that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And there's no other Savior than Jesus Christ. Secondly, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again on the third day. Thirdly, you must turn away from your sins and commit yourselves in faith to him. And when you do that, you are united with him by faith. You are united with him in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. And Christians demonstrate this new life and faith in Christ to the public through baptism, in which we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ when we get baptized. Baptism, therefore, also serves as a reminder that one day, those of you who have placed your trust in Jesus Christ will also be raised from their physical graves to live with God forever in their resurrected and glorified bodies. So what is the good news of Easter? The good news is that Jesus rose from the dead. And the better news is that Jesus rose from the dead for you. But the best news is that through Jesus Christ, you too can conquer death in him. I would like to close the sermon by sharing with you about a man named William Sangster. He's a pastor. Sangster pastored a church in England in 1940s and 1950s. When he was 58 years old, he was diagnosed with an incurable disease that was causing his muscles to atrophy, which is the physiological process of breaking down of tissues in the body gradually. When he first learned of the disease, he made the following four resolutions. First, I will never complain. Second, I will keep the home bright. Third, I will count my blessings. Fourth, I will try to turn it to gain. Over the next several years, his body became paralyzed as he lost muscles, movement, and was eventually left with no choice, no voice, and movement only in two fingers. He continued to use those two fingers to write and communicate. On Easter morning in 1960, just a few weeks before his death, he wrote the following words. I quote, "How terrible to wake up on Easter and have no voice to shout. He is risen. He is risen. Flowers to have a voice and not one to shout." Think about that. Dear friends, we have the best news ever to share. Jesus rose again from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead for you. And through Jesus, you can conquer death too. That is the good news of Easter. And that is worth shouting about. So in the spirit of Easter, I invite you to shout with me. Jesus is risen. Let us shout. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray.